Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, October 10th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
stocks tick lower following a volatile week on Wall Street.
Investors await key inflation data and the kickoff of earnings season.
Could earnings send stocks even lower? We'll have the results of a Bloomberg poll.
And rockets strike Kyiv after Vladimir Putin blames Ukraine for targeting a crucial bridge to Crimea.
Shots rang out near the Long Island home of Republican gubernatorial candidate Lee Zeldin, plus demonstrations grow in Iran involving the so-called morality police. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashner in sports. The Mets season is over. Shut out by the Padres in the decisive Game 3. Wins for the Giants and Jets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 21 points, Dow futures down 133, and NASDAQ futures down 76. The U.S. bond market is closed today in observance of the Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day holiday. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9%. It's down 83 cents at $91.85 a barrel. And COMEX gold down more than 1%. Down $21 at $1,688.40 an ounce. Nathan.
Well, Karen, the drop in futures follows a volatile week on Wall Street. The S&P 500 began the week with its biggest two-day rally since the onset of the pandemic, only to fall in the final 3 days, capped off by Friday's jobs report. Investors are now betting the Fed will continue its aggressive hiking trail. Brian Jacobson is senior investment strategist at Allspring Global Investments.
You know, Ned Davis was famous for a lot of his wisdom, the trend is your friend, and don't fight the Fed. But now you can kind of paraphrase that by saying don't fight the trend because the Fed isn't your friend, and the trend, unfortunately, is towards weakness.
Allspring Global Investments' Brian Jacobson thinks the Fed will keep going with hawkish policy tightening.
Well, in Asia, Nathan, shares tumbled amid intensifying concern over rising global interest rates. And as Chinese investors return from a week-long holiday to tighter restrictions on American technology, we get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Chinese stocks fell on their return from the Golden Week holiday, hurt by a global equity sell-off and bleak holiday spending data that deepened concerns about the economic recovery. The CSI 300 was trading at April 2020 lows. Tech stocks fell amid renewed Sino-US tensions, with the Hang Seng Tech Index at January 2019 lows. The offshore yuan strengthened after the PBOC set a stronger yuan fix for a record 28th day. The Aussie dollar fell to April 2020 lows. Markets in Japan, South Korea and Taiwan were closed. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. And stocks are falling in Europe as well to begin this week. Let's go live to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. A gloomy start to trading here in Europe as well, with every major stock market in the red this morning. Consumer products, tech and utilities among the mixed bag of sectors feeling the pressures most so far. The Bank of England, meanwhile, says it's stepping up its support for the UK bond market, which sold off after the government's disastrous mini-budget statement. The bank's aim is to provide longer-term support for a wider range of securities over the coming weeks. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Back here in the U.S., Allianz Chief Economic Advisor Mohamed Alarian is continuing his criticism of the Fed. He is blaming the central bank for what he calls the very high risk of a recession.
Not only does it have to overcome inflation, but it has to restore its credibility. So, yes, I fear that we risk a very high probability of a damaging recession that was totally avoidable.
Allianz Chief Economic Advisor and Bloomberg contributor Mohamed Alarian made the comments on CBS Face the Nation. Catch the program Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
On the economic front this week, Karen, we get minutes from the Fed's September meeting, as well as key readings on inflation. The producer price index comes out on Wednesday, followed by consumer prices Thursday. Earnings season begins this week as well, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Banks including J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and Morgan Stanley will be front and center as companies report third-quarter results amid a rising rate environment, higher energy costs, and geopolitical uncertainty. Jessica Beamer is portfolio manager at Easterly Investment Partners.
I'm actually really excited to hear from companies because they are able to really give us, obviously, some perhaps short-term negatives, but long-term guidance on how they plan to react to the current environment. That tends to be a good thing for stocks.
This week, we'll also hear from BlackRock, Delta Airlines, PepsiCo, PNC, and United Health. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Well, investors do not expect this earnings season to be a pretty one. More than 60% of respondents to the latest Bloomberg MLive Pulse survey say this earnings season will push the S&P 500 index even lower. About half of poll participants also expect equity valuations to pull back even further from their average of the past decade.
Now, the strong dollar is also likely to be a headwind during this earnings season, Karen. That's according to strategists at Goldman Sachs, who say U.S. companies generate 30% of revenues overseas. The bank also says elevated inflation and high inventories pose risks to earnings.
In geopolitical news, Nathan, Kyiv has been hit by explosions this morning, 2 days after an attack on a key bridge between Crimea and Russia. A Ukrainian official says at least 8 people have been killed and another 24 wounded in today's strikes. Russian President Vladimir Putin is blaming Ukraine for the bridge attack. He meets with the Security Council today. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky appeared to make a not-so-subtle mention of the bridge attack in his daily address.
Today was a good and mostly sunny day on the territory of our state. Unfortunately, it was cloudy in Crimea, although it is also warm. But no matter how cloudy it is, Ukrainians know what to do, and they know that our future is sunny.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky spoke there through a translator.
On to another geopolitical flashpoint, Karen. Taiwan says there will be no compromise on its sovereignty or democracy. That came hours after Elon Musk tweeted that the self-ruled island should adopt a Hong Kong-style governance model. China is hailing the idea, but Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen says Beijing should not make any misjudgment on account of Taiwan's vigorous democratic system.
And again, futures are lower this morning. S&P futures down 16 points. Dow futures down 94. And NASDAQ futures are down 66. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5%. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 507 on Wall Street, 52 degrees in Central Park. Already got an accident westbound LIE. It's at the lower level near the BQE. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Police say there is no apparent connection between a shooting outside Lee Zeldin's home in Shirley, Long Island, Sunday afternoon, and the Republican nominee for New York governor. Investigators say two teenage boys tried to hide under Zeldin's front porch after a drive-by shooting. Zeldin says his twin teenage daughters were home at the time, and when they heard the gunshots, they had locked themselves in a bathroom and called 911. Speaking to reporters outside his home, the New York congressman said the shooting is representative of a larger problem with society.
At what point are we supposed to talk about the crime on our own streets? I'm standing in front of crime scene tape in front of my own house. You can't get me more outraged than right now.
Zeldin says his security cameras photographed the people. The two people shot were taken to hospitals. More Republicans are pledging support for Herschel Walker. The Senate GOP candidate in Georgia is facing fallout over reports that he once paid for an ex-girlfriend's abortion. The Republican Senatorial Committee Chair, Senator Rick Scott, will campaign with Walker, who is a staunch anti-abortion candidate. Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock holds a slight lead in the polls in the state. Violent anti-government protests are intensifying and spreading in Iran, sparked by anger over the killing of a woman who was arrested by the so-called morality police and then dying in police custody. The protests started 4 weeks ago with the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini for allegedly wearing her hijab improperly. One woman protesting in Iran says enough is enough. Iran analyst Holly Dagru says these demonstrations are extraordinary.
They're chanting death to the dictator, death to Khamenei. They're removing their headscarves. There's been viral videos of Iranian girls flipping the bird at the supreme leader of Iran's photo or stomping on his photo in classrooms.
analyst Holly Dagras. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said he launched a new ballistic missile and simulated tactical nuclear strikes during recent military drills. It is a sign that North Korea is preparing for its first atomic test in 5 years. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. Only one Mets team in their history won more games than this one. That was 1986, which also happens to be the last time the Mets won the World Series. This team won 101 games, but that was not enough to even win the division. And the concern was that the Mets were now going to have to play a short best of three wild card series where they could run into some good pitching, be out quickly, and that's exactly what happened. The Padres, Yu Darvish, shut him down in game one, and Joe Musgrove was dominant in last night's game three. In fact, his stat line, seven scoreless innings, only one hit allowed, the best in postseason history in a winner-take-all game. San Diego won 6-0. Padres advance to play the Dodgers. The Yankees game one with Cleveland at the stadium tomorrow night. Yanks had a mandatory workout last Friday. Aroldis Chapman did not show up. There was talk the Yanks were not going to put him on their playoff roster. Now they definitely won't. Chapman's going to be a free agent, so safe to say his Yankee career is over. As for New York football, Jets are 3-2, blew out Miami 40-17, their first home win, their first win within a division in 3 years. Rookie running back Breece Hall rushed for 97 yards, also had a 79-yard reception. The Giants are 4-1. They went 4-13 last season in London. They came from 2 touchdowns down against the Packers.
6:23 to go. Game tied at 20. First and goal Giants at the 2.
Wildcat.
Wildcat formation with Barkley and Brightwell this time. Jones lined up left. Saquon takes the snap. Saquon bounces outside. Barkley's in for the touchdown, and the Giants have the lead with 6:08 to go.
On WFAN, Giants then stopped Green Bay on a late drive and won 27-22. Daniel Jones, at least in the second half, outplayed Aaron Rodgers. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures are down 16 points right now. Dow futures are down 92. NASDAQ futures are lower by 67 points. No bond trading today for the Columbus Day Indigenous Peoples Day holiday. We'll get more on this market next with Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly sunny today with highs in the upper 60s. Plenty of sunshine tomorrow as well. We'll get up to near 70. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 70 degrees. Right now, 52 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks are following Asian peers lower as concern over inflation, higher rates, and recession intensify before earnings season kicks off. U.S. stock index futures are also dropping. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures down 14 points, Dow futures down 70, NASDAQ futures down 59. The DAX in Germany is moving higher. It's up about 0.2%. The U.S. bond market is closed today in observance of Columbus Day, or Indigenous Peoples Day. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.7% or 63 cents at $92.04 a barrel. COMEX gold is down more than 1% or down $18.40 at $16.90 an ounce. The euro 0.9706 against the dollar. British pound 1.1073. The yen 145.43. And looking at Bitcoin, it's down 1% at $19,280. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Several explosions were heard in Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, today. It comes as Russian leader Vladimir Putin will meet with his top security officials in Moscow today following the bombing of Europe's longest bridge linking annexed Crimea to the Russian mainland. North Korea has revealed its recent series of missile tests were tactical nuclear weapon drills. According to North Korean state media, the country's 7 missile tests across just 2 weeks were exercises to simulate nuclear strikes on South Korea. In baseball, the season is over for the Mets. They lost to the Padres 6-0 in the deciding Game 3 of their NL wildcard series. In football, the Giants lost in London. The Jets won along with the Patriots, Ravens, and 49ers. The Commanders lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we get the trading week started this morning with Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee. On a morning where the only asset really showing any signs of strength, Dennis, is the dollar. I think the last time we talked, you were saying you were thinking about going long stocks. Are you sticking with that call?
Well, actually, I said I would be a buyer of stocks just for a couple of days because we were due for a technical bounce. I've been very bearish of stocks on balance since January 5th of this year and haven't changed my opinion at all, except we get bounces. We get dead cat bounces, and we had a nice dead cat bounce early last week. It lasted less than 48 hours, and the bear market continues at this point. So, yes, I was bullish for about a day and a half at most. And all I said at the time was that if you had a bounce, which we got that bounce, you should use that bounce in which to become less involved in the market, use that strength to reduce your long positions. And I think that that's been consistent since January 5th. The Fed is continuing to be monetarily tighter. We've had years of monetary expansion. Now we're going to have years and beginning already years of monetary contraction as the Fed reduces the size of its balance sheet. And they're taking the fuel away that had sponsored the bull market. So, yes, for a day or two, I had become slightly less bearish, I think I would call it that, not bullish at all, but I was very succinct in saying use the strength into which to sell.
Years of monetary tightening from the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
What does that look like? What does that mean to you?
It means that the fuel that they had used to sponsor the bull market, the fuel that they had used to sponsor strengthen the economy, as they had added the size of their balance sheet, the Fed had taken its assets from $900 billion to $9 trillion over the course of the last decade. They have promised, and I think I believe their promise, that they're going to reduce the size of that balance sheet by $95 billion a month as they allow old assets to roll off, to mature off. And in essence, the fuel has been taken away. The foot that had been put on the gas pedal is now off, and the foot is now on the brake pedal instead. And this is something that will last for several years, not for several weeks, not for several months, but for several years, perhaps even a decade or more. It had been a decade that they had added to their balance sheet. Now they're going to have a decade when they subtract from the size of the balance sheet. So the fuel that had sponsored things is being taken away, and that can only be deleterious to share prices.
If you're saying that the Fed will stay tight for a decade or more, are you talking just about the balance sheet, or are you talking about rate hikes as well? What does the rate path look like to you?
The rate path continues to be upward. They're going to take the Fed funds rate at least another 75 basis points before the year end. I think that at the November meeting, they'll take the overnight Fed funds rate 75 basis points then. And I believe that in the December meeting, which the Fed does not like to be Scrooge McDuck for Christmas, but at the December meeting, I think they'll also move the Fed funds rate by another 50 basis points. So I think in aggregate between now and the year end, the overnight Fed funds rate moves up 125 basis points. And I think that we'll probably get one or two more tightenings of the overnight Fed funds rate in the first two or three meetings of the FOMC after the turn of the year. So on balance, Fed funds are going higher. On balance, the Fed's assets are going lower. On balance, this is deleterious to share prices. On balance, this is deleterious to the economy.
We do get another read on inflation this week, producer prices and consumer prices. What's your call there? Does that move the Fed?
I think you're going to get a moderation in the numbers. We've had crude oil prices, except for the past 2 weeks, have been under pressure for the past several months. You had grain prices that had tumbled rather dramatically. You'd taken wheat from $13 a barrel down to a bushel, down to about $7.50 a bushel, but now even wheat is starting to rally back up. Livestock prices have fallen rather precipitously from their highs as grain prices had been under pressure. And so there'll be some moderation in the CPI numbers this week, but I don't think it'll be material in essence, and I think that the Fed will look past those numbers and be more concerned about the fact that labor rates are high and labor prices are continuing to move higher. So you've had some commodity prices that have been under pressure, but that may moderate the CPI number this week, but I don't think it'll be material.
We're going to continue this conversation with Dennis Gartman later on this hour, so stay with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee, get his thoughts as well on the kickoff of earnings season, what that could potentially mean in an environment where the Fed is continuing possibly with continued monetary policy tightening. Looking ahead to the market open this morning, we see futures moving lower once again, with S&P futures down 14 points, Dow futures down 71, NASDAQ futures are lower by 62 points. No trading in the Treasury market this morning. It is a federal holiday. NYMEX crude is down 0.6% at $92.09 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.25% at $1,687.50 an ounce. The euro right now trading at 0.9703 against the dollar. Much more to come. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine and a high near 70 today. We'll get up to near 70 tomorrow and the next day as well, with sunshine prevailing. Right now it's cloudy in Central Park and 52 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The drop in futures follows a volatile week on Wall Street that ended with a three-day skid. Brian Jacobson, senior investment strategist at Allspring Global Investments, saying that investors are betting the Federal Reserve will continue its aggressive hiking trail.
I think that Fed pivot, that's not going to happen until they take the blinders off, right? And I don't think that they really want to even contemplate changing their tune until they get to 4.5% with the Fed funds rate.
Allspring Global Investments' Brian Jacobson says if there is a broad economic recession, it would likely come in 2023.
And Allianz chief economic advisor and Bloomberg opinion contributor Mohammed Al-Arian is echoing those concerns. He blames the central bank for what he calls the very high risk of a recession.
Not only does it have to overcome inflation, but it has to restore its credibility. So, yes, I fear that we risk a very high probability of a damaging recession that was totally avoidable.
Allianz chief economic advisor and Bloomberg contributor Mohammed Al-Arian made the comments on CBS Face the Nation. Catch the program Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Investors, meanwhile, Nathan, will sort through some key economic data this week. We get minutes from the September Fed meeting, PPI on Wednesday and CPI Thursday. All of this just as earnings season gets underway.
And investors don't expect this earnings season to be a pretty one, Karen. More than 60% of respondents to the latest Bloomberg MLive Pulse survey say earnings will push the S&P 500 even lower. About half of poll participants also expect equity valuations to pull back even further from their average of the past decade.
Turning to markets overseas now, Nathan, shares tumbled in Asia amid intensifying concern over central bank activity and as Chinese investors returned from a week-long holiday to tighter restrictions on American technology. Stocks in Europe are also down.
In geopolitical news, Karen, Kyiv has been hit by explosions this morning following 2 days after an attack on a key bridge between Crimea and Russia. A Ukrainian official says at least 8 people have been killed, dozens wounded in today's strikes.
And Nathan, Taiwan's president is saying there will be no compromise on its sovereignty or democracy after Tesla founder Elon Musk said that the self-ruled island should adopt a Hong Kong-style governance model. China praised Musk's comments. Futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down almost 13 points. Dow futures down 63. NASDAQ futures down 48. And looking at Bitcoin, it's down 1.1% at $19,280. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines. Plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. 52 degrees in Central Park. Still got that accident on the westbound LIE at the BQE. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Two people were shot and injured outside New York Congressman Lee Zeldin's Long Island home. His twin daughters were inside. One called 911 and the other called Zeldin, who was at the Bronx Columbus Day Parade with his wife. Zeldin says it was a frantic moment.
When Michaela had called Diane and I. She was in the upstairs bathroom, locked in. The way this started, the two of them were at the kitchen table doing homework, and they hear gunshots.
Congressman Zeldin says his security cameras captured three people in the incident. The two people shot were taken to hospitals. It's unclear who the perpetrators or victims are and why the shooting happened. North Korea said today its recent barrage of missile launches were tests of its tactical nuclear weapons to hit and wipe out potential South Korean and U.S. targets. Its leader Kim Jong-un has signaled he would conduct more provocative tests. Demonstrations are spreading as Iranian women are going head-to-head with security forces after the killing of a woman who was arrested by the so-called morality police for incorrectly wearing her headscarf. She later died in police custody. Hackers targeted an Iranian state TV newscast. A mask appeared on the screen with a picture of the supreme leader, the Ayatollah, surrounded by flames. Former President Trump says the government documents, including classified and top secret papers retrieved by the FBI, should be returned to him. At his rally last night in Mesa, Arizona, Trump mentioned the government documents taken with a court-approved search warrant from his Florida resort.
There is no crime. You know, there is no crime. It's not a crime. And they should give me immediately back everything that they've taken from me because it's mine. It's mine.
A 1978 federal law says that the government has complete ownership, possession, and control of presidential records. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Virtually all season, the Mets were looking like a team that was not going to have to play in the wild card round, but 101 wins, not enough. Atlanta got the bye. Mets had to play the Padres, and San Diego won the decisive Game 3 at Citi Field, 6-0. The Mets in seven innings against Joe Musgrove got one hit. Musgrove's stat line, the best in postseason history in a winner-take-all game. The San Diego hitting star of the series was Trent Grisham, who batted 184 in the regular season. He went 4-for-8, two homers, scored five runs, also made a terrific catch last night. Buck Showalter's first season as Mets manager comes to an end.
I feel for the players because they put so much into it, and we're such a special group. You know, it's like I just told them, you know, it's not always fair. You know, I don't think I've ever had such a good blend of good people and good players.
Sixth inning last night, Showalter asked the umpires to check Musgrove for a foreign substance. They rubbed Musgrove's ears. Found no evidence. Musgrove said later that lit a fire under him. Division series start tomorrow. Padres will play the Dodgers. Yankees take on the Cleveland Guardians. Aroldis Chapman will not be on the Yankees postseason roster. That was made certain when Chapman didn't show up for last Friday's workout. The surprising starts for the Jets and Giants continue. The Jets finally won a division game. First in 3 years, they blew out Miami at MetLife 40-17. They're now 3-2. The Giants are a shocking 4-1. They've matched last year's win total. Went to London, depleted team, but they came from two touchdowns down, stunned Green Bay 27-22. Saquon Barkley had a 40-yard run, a 41-yard catch. Giants dominated the second half. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Scott Carr.
The driving forces behind retail's rebound in New York City are tourism and neighborhoods with a lot of residential properties. Retail sales in the city came in at 76% in September compared to 79% nationally. The Vitality Index from Avison Young's New York City Innovation and Insight team chalks that up largely to tourism and big neighborhoods. In an attempt to get around the bag ban in New Jersey, a bill from a state Senate committee proposes allowing grocery delivery services to return to using paper bags if they're made of 40% post-consumer recycled content and using cardboard boxes for 3 years. A report from roads consultant VHB is saying Bridgeport, Connecticut's 278 miles of municipally maintained roads get a rating of fair, a 75 out of 100, just 3 points above the deficient condition range. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Scott Carr.
Thanks, Scott. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Scott Carr on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting on Ford's unveiling of the new Mustang GT Gen 3 Supercar Series.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. FedEx sees a holiday shipping slowdown ahead as customers plan to send fewer packages.
I'm Caroline Hepke, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We've been reporting on the Bank of England boosting its daily gilt auctions as it tries to reassure markets ahead of its emergency program ending on Friday.
I'm Joan Doniger telling KNX listeners in Los Angeles about Rivian's sweeping recall.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, we're looking at some of the locally based companies reporting earnings this week, including U.S. Bank Corp and United Health.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Yet again, trouble at a big European bank. This time, Credit Suisse has been roiling markets. Concerns about the cost of an expected restructuring have sent its share price gyrating wildly in recent days. In response, executives have said that the bank is among the best capitalized of its peers. If only that were more reassuring. While the biggest global banks have more capital than they did during the last crisis, experience and research suggests they'd all need even more to survive a severe shock and have enough left to inspire confidence. The tempest surrounding Credit Suisse shows that the world's largest banks are too fragile. The prescription for policymakers is simple. Hold the line on capital and keep pushing for more. The danger of having too little exceeds that of demanding too much. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N, go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N, go. S&P futures right now down 14 points. Dow futures down 77 and NASDAQ futures are lower by 57 points. We continue our conversation next with former Gartman Letter publisher Dennis Gartman. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunshine and highs in the upper 60s today. We'll get up to near 70 tomorrow and Wednesday with sunshine throughout. Right now it's cloudy in Central Park, 52 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks are following Asian peers lower as concern over inflation, higher rates, and recession intensify before earnings season kicks off. U.S. stock index futures are also lower, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down 7 points, Dow futures down 28, and NASDAQ futures down 29. The DAX in Germany is higher. It's up about 0.4%. 10-year Treasury, well, U.S. bond markets closed in observance of Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 74 cents at $91.90 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.25% or $21.50 at $16.87.80 an ounce. Euro, 0.9707 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1073, and the yen 145.44. And Bitcoin is down 0.8% now at $19,330. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Missiles struck Kyiv and other Ukrainian cities early today. It comes 2 days after an attack on a key bridge to Crimea that Russian President Vladimir Putin blamed on Ukraine. The NFL implemented new concussion protocols ahead of Sunday's games. Miami Dolphins backup quarterback Teddy Bridgewater took a hit yesterday and was evaluated for a head injury. The NFL and Players Union updated the protocol after reviewing the response to Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa's concussion injury. In football, the Giants lost in London. The Jets won along with the Patriots, Ravens, and 49ers. The Commanders lost. In baseball, the season is over for the Mets. They lost to the Padres 6-0 in the deciding Game 3 of their NL Wild Card Series. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Want to pass along a quick red headline just crossing the Bloomberg terminal. The Nobel Economics Prize has just been awarded to former Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, along with Douglas Diamond and Philip Dybvig. We'll get you more details as they come in, but we want to bring back Dennis Gartman now, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee, to continue our conversation on this market. Dennis, I want to look ahead to what's coming this week. Obviously, we're going to get some important inflation data, the producer price and consumer price indexes later on this week, and the kickoff to earnings season. Do you think what we get on inflation is going to have a major impact on what we see in stocks this week?
I think it'll have a minor impact if it has any impact whatsoever. I think the Fed is taking a much longer perspective, concerned about longer-term inflation rather than short-term numbers that come out on a monthly basis. Yes, there will be some moderation as far as their overtly bearish circuit comments that have been rather public and rather consistent over the course of the past several weeks. So they may moderate, and I put that term in quotation marks, they may moderate a bit of their vocabulary. But will they change their opinion? No. Will they change their perspective? No. Will they change their policies at this point, which has been to tighten monetary policy? Not on your life. They want to remain consistent. They have had a problem with constancy over the course of the past several years. They've had a problem with people's respect for their position taking, and everyone, almost every single member of the FOMC has been overtly and very publicly bearish or hawkish about certain monetary circumstances. So yes, you may get some slight moderation in their verbiage, but I think it'll be modest at best, and they will not change their policy. They're going to continue to tighten monetary policy over the course of the next year or more, perhaps several years into the future.
Two-part question. Have we hit peak inflation, and does tighter policy raise the risk of recession?
We may have hit peak inflation, the operative word here being may. I have my severe doubts. We'll see. Keep an eye on what goes on in crude oil prices. Keep an eye on what goes on in grain prices. Wheat has fallen from $13 to $8 a bushel, but it's back to $9 a bushel, and wheat being the most important crop, as far as I'm concerned, in the world, seems to be turning higher again, given the fact that we have problems with the Ukraine and Russia, and given the fact that getting the U.S. wheat crop off to a decent start as planting has been relatively quick, but into very dry land. Keep an eye on what goes on in wheat prices, and keep an eye on what goes on in grain prices generally. I think they're moving from the lower left to the upper right. So you have some moderation in inflation, but I think the operative word here is moderation. I don't think you had any change, and I think the Fed will be very constant, very consistent, and very aware of its lack of constancy over the course of the past several years, and wants to make up for that fact.
We do have earnings season kicking off this week as well with the big banks. It seems like there's a lot of gloomy prospects about this earnings season. What's your view?
I think gloomy prospects are rational and reasonable at this point. I don't think we're going to get any surprises to the upside. I think the surprises on the downside will be rather material and very consistent. So, again, be careful out there. As we talked earlier, I thought for a day or two we'd get a bounce in stock prices. You actually had a good, strong bounce a week and a half ago, lasted less than 48 hours. And as I said, that constantly or consistently since then, use periods of strength into which to sell. So if you get some surprises to the upside in earnings, use that strength, which I doubt you're going to get, use that strength to reduce the size of your exposure, reduce your exposure to the market. Be careful out there. This is still a bear market. I've been constant in that since January 5th of this year. And I see absolutely no reason to change.
About a minute left here, Dennis. At what point do we reach capitulation in this market?
When the public throws up its hands and here's a very important technical terminology, pukes on its positions. they haven't come to that point yet. They haven't even looked at their quarterly reports from their brokerage houses that came out last week. People, I think, are weeks, if not months, away from getting out of position. So capitulation has not happened yet. It shall eventually happen, but it's months into the future. So be careful out there.
Staying bearish, Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee. Dennis, always great to get your thoughts. Thanks so much for joining us this morning here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
All right, Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. We turn to a legal story we're watching this morning. The new Supreme Court term is filled with controversial issues, from affirmative action to voting rights, and now the justices have decided to step into the middle of the politically fraught debate over Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. At issue is whether some of the world's tech companies should continue to be protected for third-party content or should be held accountable for it. The two cases involve claims over terrorist attacks abroad, one in Paris in 2015 and another in Istanbul in 2017. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Eric Goldman, a professor at the University of Santa Clara Law School.
So are the plaintiffs in these cases complaining about the algorithm-generated recommendations?
Well, that's
so what are those?
Part of it. You could look at it a little bit more broadly. I think the starting premise is that the terrorist organization should never be online in the first instance. And if they are online, then the social media services giving them that support now take responsibility for any of the consequences that flow from the visibility that they gain online. So it's really one of these situations where social media services are just one of many possible contributors to the outcome. And we don't hold everyone who has that kind of tenuous connection to a terrorist attack responsible for the attack in the first instance.
Justice Clarence Thomas had already expressed interest and indicated that he's willing to change the law if Congress isn't.
Well, we have to assume that Justice Thomas was in favor of hearing this case because he's basically begged plaintiffs to bring Section 230 cases to him so he can find a way to try and eviscerate it. So we know that Justice Thomas is already coming in as an extreme Section 230 skeptic. He's literally told us when nobody asked him to.
Let's say Section 230 is gone. What effect would that have on social media companies?
It's not just social media companies. It's the entire internet. So much of the internet is driven by user-generated content, us talking to each other. And Section 230 is the legal foundation that enables those conversations to take place without the services being liable for facilitating or enabling those conversations. So without Section 230, many of those conversations will simply stop. They won't be possible to do anymore because of the fact that the legal liability will overwhelm the benefit. Now, some of the services that are existing today are big enough and powerful enough that they will either find a way to thread the legal needle and accept whatever collateral damage comes from that, or they will move towards professionally produced content. They'll stop letting users talk to each other. They'll pay some people who they trust to submit content that they will accept the legal risk for, and as a result, it becomes a lot more of the internet being people talking to us, not us talking to each other. So the fact that the Supreme Court might change Section 230 is what really panics me, because then it creates the possibility that unelected justices are making decisions that will affect our daily lives in ways that it's really impossible to contemplate.
And that's Eric Goldman, a professor at the University of Santa Clara Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And we have more on that breaking news we brought you just moments ago. Ben Bernanke, Douglas Diamond, and Philip Dibvig were awarded the 2022 Nobel Prize in Economic Sciences for research on banks and financial crises. The three will share the $900,000 award, and we'll have more on that story straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. And also ahead, we'll have a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. Futures this morning moving lower. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 12, NASDAQ futures down 26, and of course, the bond market closed today in observance of Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day. And this is Bloomberg.